and I declare the winner of the 2019 Brownlow Medal, Nathan Fife of the Fremantle Football Club.
Shade from the mound. Needs to be in perfect.
Hello all and welcome to the second episode of the Centre Square podcast on Sport FM 91.3. The boys have done their season predictions last week, and of course after the suspension of the AFL season for 2020, we have no games this week. We're going to announce what we're going to be doing, but I'm joined with Ethan Roth on the phone this week, as obviously we are all separated. Ethan, how are we?
Yeah, good, Bray. Obviously, tough times at the moment, even with our show, you know, a bit of uncertainty, but, you know, pumped to be here and looking forward to interviewing our guest in the second part.
Yeah, of course, we have our guest lined up, but we're just going to go through last week in the AFL. Obviously, it was a pretty weird weekend, wasn't it, Ethan? We had no crowd, obviously, and it was sort of weird. Some games had real high scores, some had pretty low high scores.
Yeah, it wasn't the same, definitely. Obviously, no crowd. It was just really weird watching. Obviously, not the same spectacle. Obviously, it's still good that it was on and better than nothing, but yeah, some people, I guess, saying, oh, a bit pointless, but because of it's not going to go on for a few months, but I guess we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, of course. Well, we do our tipping, as always, here at the Centre Square podcast. Ethan, you, Luca and Noah both got six.
All on six.
All tip Freo.
Yeah.
You all tip Freo.
Yeah, well, we got to back our boys. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to tip them and then go against them. That's why I always tip them, usually, even if we're versing a hard opposition.
Yeah, and myself and Cow both finish on 7 out of 9. So we take a 1-point lead into whenever round two is.
Yeah. Obviously, we'll have the guest tip there as well. So we'll combine all our guests that we got on into one, and they'll have their own little
tally
as well.
So obviously round two at the earliest, it will be 31st of March around there. May, no, 31st of May. My bad. And of course, something new we're doing this season, Centre Square Player of the Year. Us five, myself, you, Ethan, and the three boys that aren't on the phone, we decide 3-2-1 for the round. Three best players from the round. So, Ethan, I'll hand that over to you.
Yeah, so three votes. We've gone for Brody Grundy. Thought he was outstanding. I think he got a massive fantasy score. I know Luca had him as his captain, so he'd be very happy with that, getting double
Luca
points.
Luca was frothing it.
Yeah, very dominant ruckman. I think at the moment he is the number one ruckman. So, yeah, good display and a smashing against the Bulldogs, which helped with the teammates around him. Two votes we've gone, Patrick Cripps from Carlton. Again, another player just dominant in his prime of his career at the moment. I think he got 31 disposals. Most of them were contested, even though they did lose against the Tigers on Thursday night. He still was best on ground for mine, or ours, sorry. And one vote, a bit of a surprising one, Jack Viney from the Melbourne Demons. He got 34 disposals, and again, most of them contested. I think he might have kicked a couple of goals. Cal was saying to me, Cal picked that one out. Shout out to you, Cal. Good job watching the footy. He's one vote. So obviously, those were our first three. So the leaderboard for the season, obviously Grundy, Cripps, and Viney. But I'm sure that's to change with hopefully many games left. Even if the season does go into December, if they have to, as Gillon McLaughlin said.
Yes. Of course, make sure to stay listening throughout the rest of the season to find out who gets votes in the rounds, I guess, that we will get after the suspension. But now talking about us as a show, it's a pretty hard decision. Obviously, this episode's recorded on the phone as the coronavirus is taking effect around the whole world. But we've decided, pretty hard decision, but we're going to not record podcasts as much over this break, as there's no footy on, so we don't really have anything to talk about. And plus, it'll be hard to get our guests on to speak for their own safety.
In saying that, we hopefully won't be gone for too long. We are hopeful. We still have been in contact with a lot of big players, the DMs going through. So we're obviously not done for the season. We will be back, that's 100%. And, hopefully we've always been discussing a bit of new content we can do during this break. So then we're not just doing nothing. We're still providing, content to the fans and listeners, which I think, Bray, you'll touch on at the end of the show what it actually is. But,
Yeah, well, we can touch on that now if you want. We might start YouTube in the next coming weeks.
Yeah, got a lot of requests.
Yeah, so the content on that isn't yet confirmed, but we have a good idea of what we might be doing. Obviously, we can't really do vlogs because there's nothing to vlog about at the moment. With us all in self-isolation.
We've been sorting out, some technical work, tripod stands, that sort of stuff. So we are looking to do it. Obviously, we're not sure, 100% sure what we'll give out, but it is a good chance of happening.
Yeah. Well, so that's us at the moment. With what we're going to do. Obviously, we might chuck in a podcast every now and then on the phone like we're doing now. But obviously, we won't have any footy to talk about. So it will just be talking about how our self-isolation will be going and other boring stuff like that. But we'll only make it if you the fans, want to hear it.
I'm sure they will. We've been growing a lot. Obviously, getting a few request messages and just, we're growing. So hopefully we'll keep it up.
Well, we are going to introduce our special guest in not too much time. So stick around. Welcome back to the Centre Square podcast. Myself and Nathan have got the special guest on the line. And he played 73 games for the Brisbane Lions between 2014 to 2019, mostly as a lockdown defender. He was from West Perth, pick 34 in the 2013 draft, and has signed for East Perth in the 2020 waffle season. It's Nick Robinson. Thanks for joining us, mate. How are you doing through this tough time?
Thanks for having me, mate. Yeah, look, it's a really unusual time for a lot of people. Personally, I've had to actually fly back to Brisbane to be with my wife just because of all the uncertainty that's going on. The waffle season's obviously been put on hold. People's jobs are up in the air, so I made the decision to come back here and look after my wife. Obviously, when the season comes back, and hopefully it does come back, I'll get back over and start things. But yeah, very unusual times, mate.
Yeah. First things first, can you tell us about your early life growing up, where you started playing footy and all that early stuff in your life, about playing for West Perth and junior life?
Yeah, sure. Grew up in a very fortunate to grow up in a really loving Christian family, and that was obviously something I'm really, really lucky to have in my life growing up. A lot of people don't have that sort of upbringing, so I really, really cherish that. Football's always been a really big part of my life as well. So I used to play junior football down there at the Kinross Junior Footy Club, and really enjoyed that. Had my old man coaching me, and really enjoyed that side of things. Obviously, went to school as a, where'd I go? Lake Junaluk Baptist College, and then started thinking about what I actually wanted to do. And from a very young age, I decided to start running and hit the gym and make sure I was ready if an opportunity ever arose to play football at any professional level. So played West Perth junior footy there with the 14s, 15s development squad, and really enjoyed that. and enjoyed playing football with some really talented players and learnt a lot off them. Was lucky to play a lot of state football as well, which was good. Played 15 state football, 16s. But I was really injury ridden throughout my junior football and wasn't able to play as many games as I'd like, which was frustrating. Only played the one state championship game as a 17-year-old bottom ager, then kept hurting my shoulder, and that was really disappointing. Then I met my wife, Tanika, which was pretty special. She's a ripper girl and keeps me on my toes, mate, so very lucky to have her here in my life. We got married not long ago, which is really cool. And I got drafted, mate, really lucky, pick 34 for the Brisbane Lions, and it was really crazy because I never played much junior football. Very lucky to even get looked at.
Yeah. And were you always sort of a defender? And, you know, obviously you wanted to play at a high level, but when did you think you were actually good enough to play at the highest level?
Yeah, good question. I never looked at myself as a defender. I always used to play midfield and be that big-bodied inside mid, and, you know, winning contested football and things like that was something that I thought was my biggest strength going through the ranks. And got a lot of opportunity as a defender. So when you're playing, when you get that opportunity to play, you know, AFL football, you've got to go in with an open mind. And that's what I did. And there was a lot of opportunity there to play as a defender and play on the games. You know, greats like Dustin Martin and a lot of lockdown roles, Toby Green and Lockie Whitfield. So I learned a lot doing that. And then decided, obviously got a lot of opportunity doing that, so kept doing it.
Yeah. When it came to the draft, how many clubs approached you and how'd you know that Brisbane were pretty keen in you?
So when they're leading up into your draft year, you go to the draft combine, you got a lot of few meetings like that. And it's pretty daunting because you go there as a young 18-year-old and you can't, like, you don't really know what to expect, don't know what questions are going to be asked, and you're just a young fella wanting to play footy, really. And they ask you a lot of grueling questions, and that was all interesting and pretty good fun. But yeah, going into the draft, I met with every club, which was really, you know, humbling. And I thought, oh yeah, I might be okay here. But talking to different players that had that done to them as well, and then they didn't get picked up. So there was no certainty. Just really lucky that Brisbane picked me up. I think my wife cooked them a buttered chicken or something, so that must have won them over the line.
So moving over to Brisbane, how was the transition early days? And so I'm guessing you would have just finished school. So what was that like? And what players sort of guided you or took you under their wing in your first few seasons?
Yeah, so I moved over as a young fella, young 18-year-old, and went and lived with you had an option. You could live with players or you could live with a host family, and they kind of look after you and feed you and just make you feel really welcome. And I was really lucky. I got to live with the Katsoulis family, and I still consider them family to this date. And they certainly made that transition over to Brisbane very easy. My wife, Tanika, she's best friends with one of their daughters, Sophie. So it's, that made that, you know, trip over very, very easy because, like you said, you know, go over pretty young and you don't know anyone. Guys that took me under their wing, Daniel Rich, he was really good early days and still a really good fella and friend of mine. And he's from WA as well, Rowan Buick. When he was there, he was from WA. So all the WA guys got around me quite quickly, which was really nice. Yeah. Brisbane's a really good club. You know, when I first got there, it was different. Culture is very important in a football club, and there are question marks about it. And being a young guy, you can't really pinpoint what's wrong and what was going wrong. But you go there and you think that's the normal, but it certainly wasn't. And I was a part of a pretty unique change when Chris Fagan came along and we started seeing a lot of success. So culture breeds something pretty special at a footy club, and I witnessed that firsthand.
Yeah. When did you feel like you were a regular in the side, and when did you feel like you're at your best?
So I only played a handful of games my first few years. My first couple of years, I played 24 games under Lepich and was really thankful for that. And then my third year, I battled a lot of injuries, kept tearing my hamstring and tore my meniscus in my right knee. And there was a year to forget, which was pretty frustrating. But then after that, Chris Fagan come along, had a really good season and ended up playing 44 games in a row, which was really good. So when Fags come on board, I was playing regular senior football, and unfortunately things changed. So that's just how the business is, mate. It's just pretty brutal.
Yeah. And how hard was it being in a side at one of the lowest points in the club's history? And, you know, was it frustrating, or did you lose any hope considering you guys weren't winning many games and often finishing near the bottom of the table?
Yeah, so it was a frustrating time because AFL players and especially our team, we're all competitive people, so you don't really, you know, take losing very well. But there were a lot of guys that were at that football club for, you know, over 10 years and were losing week in, week out. So you'd have to ask them how it really felt, though, but to get a real opinion. But, you know, we lost for, you know, 2-3 years while I was there, and it was still pretty hard. It didn't stop us from trying to work and get better and things like that, but that's just the way it was, unfortunately. We weren't quite clicking as a group, and, yeah, it's just how it was.
Yeah, you just touched on the two coaches you had during your time at Brisbane. What were your thoughts on both of them? Obviously, you got lots of games with Chris Fagan. So, well, how are your relationships and bonds with them?
Yeah, with both coaches, they were really good. Lepo was a real hard man and had a lot of knowledge of the game and was a terrific footballer and in his own career. So, learned a lot off Lepo. And, look, he still messages me every now and again, say good day and see how I'm going. So, yeah, really good fella. Chris Fagan. Very personable man. The first time he got to the club, he made sure he sat down with every player individually and just spoke to him about the club and how it's going, what do we need to improve on, and spoke about having a growth mindset and versus a fixed mindset. And yeah, he has a real teaching background, so he's a very deep thinker. And yeah, I got along with both of them, mate, so I've got nothing to complain about there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so coming to 2019, the club had a few signings, obviously Lachie Neale, Lincoln McCarthy, Jared Lyons, probably forgetting a few others as well. But you were in and out of the side as the club did finish second on the ladder. But I remember you did play that semi final against the Giants. When did you find out you were going to get delisted? And, you know, were you ever tempted to request a trade elsewhere, being from WA? You know, there was a bit of interest from Fremantle. So, tell us about that, and did you feel unlucky to be cut?
Look, the year before this one, I had an opportunity to go back home, but you know, I played a consistent year, finished in the top 10 of the best and fairest, and loved where I was. I'm a very loyal person, and unfortunately, sometimes loyalty can get you in trouble in the in any sort of business. So, I copped that. Was I disappointed getting let go? Absolutely. I definitely know that I've got a lot more to offer at AFL level, and I'll keep working to get back on an AFL list. And how I found out was a phone call from Chris. He gave me a call and told me my services were no longer required. So that was obviously hard to hear, but that's the nature of the business, mate. And that's I look back and did I enjoy myself? Absolutely. Did I have fun? Absolutely. I've got some amazing memories at that footy club. Met some really good people, and I, from the bottom of my heart, I wish them all the best. Absolutely.
Yeah, you've been known a bit for your aggressive and hard lockdown playing style. Can you talk about story lining up with great players such as Dustin Martin, Buddy Franklin, and Toby Green? As we've seen, you've gotten to little scuffles and made headlines for.
Where do you want me to start, mate? Which one?
Any.
Dusty. Dusty.
Yeah. Well, we were playing, so we obviously played him at the G, and he was absolutely dominating us after half time, and three quarter time, Fakes told me to go to him and nullify his influence, and I absolutely love to. Any opportunity to play in the game's best, you take that. So I was just getting under his skin and probably crossed the line a bit, but it was the only thing that took his mind off the game, just getting under his skin and knocking him about, and he didn't like it too much. I got paid one free kick against me, and that's how he got a touch on me in the third quarter, which was really absolutely rubbish. I've looked at that replay not too many times and still think I was ripped off, but he's a
I told you, Bray, we were looking at it the other day. Me and Bray were looking at it the other day, and I was like, that's 100% not a free kick just because it's dusty. Yeah,
well, I knew it. That's what you get.
Yeah.
He's a man of very few words. Did he say anything to you while you were out there?
No, he just kept telling me to flog off. Yeah.
Yeah. And what about Buddy or Toby Green or anyone else? Yeah,
Toby
Green's remember?
Pretty funny. He's a rip-up. He's just a brilliant footballer and backs up his smack talk. So, just a real competitor. And he's probably one of the hardest players I've played on, to be honest, Toby Green. He's really explosive and his goal sense, and he's quick off the mark. So if you don't take anything off him, he just gets in front of you and he'll make you pay.
Yeah.
Talk us through your decision to sign with East Perth. Who were you first approached by again? Were there any clubs interested in you, even your old original side, West Perth?
I met him with Jeff at West Perth, head coach, and I went down and trained there for a week. And... it was all very, very familiar. I've been there before, and I felt like I needed a fresh start, something I hadn't been before, hadn't trained before, people I didn't know. And that was really ultimately my decision, just to have a clean slate, fresh start, don't know anyone. I can just, get on with my business and buy into another, team that's trying to find success and pass on what I've learned and help the younger group coming through. And that's what I was really, pretty looking forward to. And I got to speak to, the head coach here, Jeremy Barnard, and the vice president, Bronte Houston, and Dean Turner. So it was it was really good. It was really good to talk to them. They're a very professional mm-hmm. club, very well organized. And ultimately that was why I went there. I wanted a clean slate made, and they presented really well. Other waffle clubs did call me and spoke to me over the phone, but after speaking with East Perth, my mind was already made up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like in the pre-season, obviously waffle is a step down from AFL, so have you found it easier during match simulation or just training, and have you tried to pass your experience off to the other guys?
I always train at a pretty high intensity. I'll make sure that I'm not wasting a session, and that's something that I've learned at an AFL club, and I've worked hard my whole life that way, training as hard as I can, because you don't get better if you just train and be mediocre. You'll just stay mediocre. So I've got to keep trying to find ways to improve, and by improving, I make sure I'm getting around the younger blokes, pulling blokes up when they're missing easy kicks, and you got to be real careful because it is a semi-professional environment, and blokes work full time, so they're stuffed when they come to training. It's not like AFL when it's a full-time gig and that's all you do is play footy. There's guys that are working on the tools, from 7 till 4, then go to training at 4:30 and go through a grueling training session. So you've got to have some sort of balance with how you communicate with players and training standards and things like that. So
yeah. Is there any funny or memorable stories you've had in your time at Brisbane, or any funny nicknames, interesting nicknames that you've been called?
Probably none I can share on this podcast, but funny nicknames. I come back from Las Vegas one year and got called Fat Melon. So that stuck around the club, Fat Melon. That was me. My nickname for a good year.
Big chicken.
What about you? What about your mates? Like, who are your best mates at the club and the ones you
best
still keep
mates?
In contact with now?
I keep in contact with a lot of the boys there. Archie Smith's one of my best mates. Reese Matheson, Alex Witherden, Cameron Rayner, Corey Lyons. Both the Lyons boys are absolute rippers. Josh Walker went to Kangaroos, is a ripper. Ben Keys. Jeez, I've probably missed so many and I'll get ripped if they've bloody... Charlie Cameron.
What Mitch about the
Robbo.
Other Robbo?
Yeah, Mitch Robbo, absolutely.
Mitch Robinson. Did you go on his podcast?
Nah, none of the boy. Only Charlie's been on that podcast. He's pretty picky with who he chucks on there, mate. Yeah. Nah, they're all rippers, mate. All good people.
Yeah. So what about outside of footy? So what do you like to get up to in your spare time and, you know, any sponsors or charities that you partner with? And do you also work now that you're back in Perth? You mentioned about the Waffle Help stop full time. So, yeah, what do you do outside of footy?
Yeah, so I'm involved with the Cupid's Under Your Own Foundation. It's kids with NF disease. It's neurofibromatosis. I don't know if I said that right, but it's pretty full on. These kids have tumours all over their all bodies and... they're really young. It's pretty sad. So I like to do a bit of work with them. So Waffles, I was going to just play footy this year and just concentrate on that. But with everything going on, mate, we couldn't really do it. You know, there's everything, they've just canned the season. Who knows if we'll actually get a season now. There's talks of, a 9-game season. There's talks of no season. Oh, there's just so much uncertainty. So I've come over here now, and the people I used to live with own National Storage, so I'm going to work for their company, and I'm very fortunate to even have a job, mate. You know, a lot of people don't. So my priorities have changed now. Like the start, I was just trying to get back on the AFL list, but now I'm come over here to look after my wife, get into a bit of casual work, full-time work, whatever it will be, and just spend time with her. But I'll also make sure I keep training and, I am ready when the season does start to put my best foot forward, because football's still something I really want to pursue, and get back on an AFL list is something that's at the forefront of my mind still.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and for the Waffle, would you be happy, say, if they like a 9-round season or something like that? Would you be happy if they like crowned a premiers, just like minor premiers, as who wins the premiership? Or like, what are your thoughts on
it? Is an interesting one, isn't it? Because 9 games is pretty short. I think they play, you know, every team once, and then we'd have some sort of knockout comp, I reckon. Something like that. The top four would have some sort of a knockout comp. And I think hopefully if things go well, we'll start that season in July. I know the AFL are aiming for June, but it just depends how they get a hold of all, you know, this coronavirus. You know, it's just on that, something that needs to be taken very seriously. You know, it's something that's spreading quite drastically, and people do need to take it serious. I still drive around when I'm dropping my wife off to work, and there's people walking their dogs and going for runs, and I just don't think we're taking it that serious.
Yeah.
Well, we were supposed to obviously be in the studio with you, and we can't even be there. So yeah, it is interesting. But yeah, I think you touched on 9-game season. Maybe, you know, if it is a 9-game season, it's going to be the first time Subiaco have won 20 games in the season for quite some time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just
dominant.
Just rub it in, your Subiaco supporter. we'll move on. Last question from us. What is one piece of advice you would give to a young footy player wanting to push through to the next level?
Yeah, look, I think the greatest bit of advice I got was from Glenn Jakovic when I went going through the AIS camp, and he said, mate, you're 15, make sure you enjoy your football. Like, yep, you've got attributes, but make sure you're really enjoying it. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, and listen to your coaches, because they're there to help your development. And that really stuck in my mind, and I then started picking the brains of my coach, because they knew my strengths and my weaknesses, and I needed to identify them myself. So going to my coach and saying, look, what do I actually need to work on? And they would give me, you know, 3 things you need to work on, and then there's your deficiencies, parts of your game we need to improve, and that's when you get to work, mate. You because you know exactly within yourself what you need to improve on. Then you go out on the training track by yourself and you spend hours and hours on that. So making sure you listen to your coach, pick their brain, and that's ultimately how you improve.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll move on to the Instagram Q&As. We'll get through these so we can wrap it up shortly. First question from Brisbane Lions with an underscore at the beginning. Do the players keep their jerseys that they wore throughout the season? And if so, do you have a small collection of your own?
Yes, all the boys do get their home and away Guernseys after every year. Even the Anzac Day Guernseys and the Fitzroy ones, all the specially made ones, Indigenous jumpers, boys get the option to purchase one of them as well. So every year I purchase those ones, and I've hung on to the home and away Guernseys after every game as well, after every year as well.
Yeah. Next one from AFL coaches, players and videos. What's something you wish you had known prior to playing football?
That's a tough question, actually. Probably nothing I wish I knew. I was pretty well prepared when I got to an AFL club because I went through the AAS program where they really dot down everything that you do at an AFL club. So when I finished that AAS camp, it was only 6 months and then I got drafted. So everything was quite fresh, you know, with your schedule, being punctual, making sure you're on time, bringing a notepad to meetings. I suppose, yeah, I don't think I would want to know anything any different than what I already knew.
Yep. Next question from Jay Hinesy, I believe it is. Sorry for pronunciation. Any chance of playing in the AFL this year with the new top-up system draft that they may bring in?
Well, I've had a lot of conversations with my management, and if that actually goes ahead, then absolutely. But like I said, mate, who knows if anyone will be playing football this year. So it's pretty important to just control what you can control and stay fit, stay ready, and who knows what could happen.
Yeah. This one from olek.tindall_05 wants to know, I think we might already know the answer to this one, but never know. Least favourite player to play against?
Probably Buddy Franklin.
Buddy. Yeah, good choice. Next question, Lucas Denford. What's your opinion on the waffle being suspended until May 31st?
My opinion, straight up, obviously disappointed, but it's bigger than this, you know, coronavirus is bigger than the waffle, bigger than the AFL, bigger than sport in general. So it had to be done. From, you know, thinking about myself, like selfishly, obviously I'm pissed off. I'd love to be playing footy. We all want to be playing footy. People want to be watching footy, and footy's a pretty big part of Australia. So, yeah, it is what it is, mate. You can't really be too pissed off about it. You got to take it with a grain of salt and move on.
Yeah. And just touching on that, are you a big watcher of the game, or, you know, just are you just focused on like playing, or do you actually enjoy watching it as a spectator?
That's great. Yeah, I used to watch a lot of football when I was younger. And when I got drafted, I watched specific players, and I watched blokes play. When I was playing as a defender, I would watch defenders all the time, and didn't really support any one team, just watch good players, and players that played in similar roles to myself. I like to watch them and really jot down what they were good at and things that I want to bring to my game. I'd go out and watch them. So there you go.
Yeah.
Next question.
From Izzy_OGR, sorry if I pronounced that wrong again. When were you inspired to play footy? So, is a specific age or like moment, you know, where you're like, this is what I want to do, or was it just like generally always something you
wanted
to do?
So, when I played football growing up as a young guy, like I mentioned earlier. I think when I started playing in the state teams, and I had a few conversations with different recruiters saying that you've got talent, we'll be watching you. Mm-hmm. That's when I had that you know, belief in myself to really have a crack. And when I played in the state under 17s, I'm sorry, played in the state 18s as a 17-year-old and played quite well in a couple of games and was told I was going to go on the first round by a few recruiters. And obviously, as a 17-year-old getting told that, you're like, oh, geez, if only I was 18 this year. And then I didn't play any footy. So I suppose when did I know I was going to have a real chance to play for football? Probably around that 17-year-old when I had those conversations with those recruiters.
Yeah. Next question from Parksy49. Your favourite ground to play up?
Favourite round?
Ground.
The Gabba. I love playing at the Gabba.
Yeah. Obviously, just thinking of it, the Gabba, they don't have drop-in pitches for the cricket, so you play on actual cricket pitch, won't you?
Yeah, it is real hard in the middle.
Yeah,
it is. Very hard in the middle, but it's just a... The Brisbane fans were always so good. When you got a run on, they were so loud and passionate. And it makes a massive difference when you're at the ground. You've got, you know, 30-odd thousand screaming for Brisbane.
Yeah, especially last year. They were rocking out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's just one that I've thought of as well. What is your favourite, like, day or time to play? Do you like playing prime time, like Friday nights, Saturday nights, that say arvo, like late Sunday arvo? Is there a preference you like?
I like the afternoon games because when you play in the afternoon, you know you're finished around 6-7 o'clock, and if you have a win, you can really enjoy each other's company after that win. And when you play games at around that 7 o'clock time, you know, you don't leave the club till probably midnight. Don't get home till, you know, 12:30. Then you might have to fly back or whatever it is, and you're wide awake, and it's just a real terrible recovery period. So that was the only reason why I didn't really like playing the night games. But in saying that, when you're on the field, you don't know what time it is. You're so focused on what's going on around you, and I'm a very competitive person, so I was that ramped up as soon as I crossed that white line. I get a bit of white line fever, and might come across as a nice person now, but on the football field, I'm a bit of a wanker.
We've got three more. So this one's from Josh Mengel. Would you be happy to go back
Absolutely.
To the Lions?
Yeah, I didn't leave with any bad blood or anything. I left on, you know, really good terms and have really good relationships with the players and coaches there. So in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Next question from Roberts O'Neill. Do you think AFL players should be role models in the community?
I think being an AFL player straight away, you're a role model in the community. That's part of the job title of being an AFL footballer. You do a lot of community visits and you visit a lot of schools, and a lot of AFL players visit schools off their own back, not because they're getting told to. So I think naturally, being an AFL footballer, you are just a role model.
Yeah. And lucky last one. Thanks to everyone who sent them in. We tried to put as many of the best ones in we could as possible. This one from at vb.beardlypence. Will you ever get a decent golf swing?
Oh, that's Aaron. He's one of my good mates. He's just a bit flat because I keep beating him at golf, but...
Of course.
These AFL players, they like to play golf. All of these players like to play golf. What is it with golf?
Any
like,
athlete loves it.
Something about
the golf's just relaxing. I don't know if you've played yourself, but it's always nice to go out for a hit and get a bit of a, get away from footy for a bit. You know, football can be a bit of a bubble, and guys like to spend time with each other just away from the club and just get away from it, you know, have a swing and play a bit of golf. It's just a mental thing, mate.
Yeah, we see it on like the Instagram stories and that.
Nah, it's good, mate. I love it as well. It's good.
Yeah, it is good fun. But that wraps up the show. Thanks to Ethan, of course, for co-hosting. And, of course, thanks to Nick for coming on the phone with us, obviously, through this tough time. But stay up to date on
good
the
luck
Instagram.
For the future.
Thanks, mate. I really appreciate it. A couple of good guys. And, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. But make sure to... Stay up to date on the Instagram and Facebook. to make sure you know what is happening with our show through this tough time. Of course, we announced that we will be producing content on YouTube, most likely through this tough time. But we hope you've enjoyed the show. You're listening to SportFM 91.3. Thanks for your company.